This segment of the Henry Raine Show is brought to you by Bite Federal, the Bitcoin ATM company, bringing Bitcoin to a location near you. Well, things are about to change because we're opening up the gate to an expanded Henry Raine Show here, thanks to the sponsors, Bite Federal, and also to Mocha Joe's, newly on this week. Bite Federal came on a few weeks ago, and we expect even more.
And I think they're putting up more ATMs. That's why Leonard and Lee aren't here today.
I think they've doubled since they first came on this show.
That is crazy.
Not that I'd be taking credit for that, but, you know, it's like Giles Ward. If Bitcoin gets a new record high, it goes up while he's talking here.
Yep.
They come on, the Bite Federal comes on this show. They double the number of ATMs.
Yep.
Where are they, Henry?
I wouldn't work against the trend.
And they have my favorite coin on their ATMs.
Where are they? Where are the coin? Where are the ATMs?
One right across the street from Mocha Joe's.
Yeah.
They're all over.
Opportune segue, and this will answer your questions too. Because we have the meetup at Mocha Joe's next Saturday, the Saturday after Thanksgiving at 2 o'clock, the Bradenton and Cryptocurrency inaugural meetup at no better place could be than Mocha Joe's because, well, it's just that good.
So, crypto coffee.
They've got pretty good chili, too, folks.
But I'm hoping that Leonard or Lee will be there, and then towards the end of the meetup, we can all go over to the ATM. You know, Michael Joe should get one of those ATMs.
We would love to have one, but it's just not our clientele yet. But we are going to be taking crypto soon. And I needed to talk to Leonard about that, so if we get Bite Federal to get us going.
You know,
I mean,
it's funny. You sit there and you eat their food long enough, you talk like you own the place.
Yeah, right. You know, but hey, Leonard, I need you to get us set up. I mean, we need to be taking currencies, and I think you do that.
All right. So anyway, so
where's Leonard when you need him?
That locally, they're at Cortez Road here in Bradenton. They're on Clark Road down in Sarasota. Somewhere down in Englewood, where I'm not familiar with that area. They're up on Treasure Island in St. Pete, downtown St. Petersburg at Ferg's, downtown Tampa at Ferg's Live, I guess is what they call it. They're over in Orlando. I saw they Punta Gorda now, Miami,
Georgia.
Orlando, Georgia. Yeah, you have to go to BiteFederal.com and look on that. And I think I actually should have played the other break that if you're a business owner, you can find out more. I'll have to play that one more time here before we say goodbye today. Anyway, before we went to the Hashed House, let's debrief on Hashed House, because you were saying stuff off the air that piqued your interest, I believe.
Well, you know, I mean, and they're coming from it from a different aspect and a different angle, and I think Augie and I very seldom agree on much, but I think we both agree on this, that healthcare is very private, and, you know, for me, I want privacy.
It's like water, it should be a utility.
That's correct, and I want control over my own medical records. I don't want records on this, you know, this hospital and this doctor, because look what happened with Equifax. They got hacked. And
the same thing we're talking about with your control of your healthcare records could apply to your credit records too.
Exactly. And so those are areas that I'm looking to invest in as far as cryptocurrencies go. So I really love the area. They're prime and it's, you know, it's coming. But I like that the fact, like what Augie said with his heart attack, and I'm glad he recovered and everything.
It wasn't
but
a heart attack.
Well, I mean, the aneurysm.
Right.
And, you know, if you were able to go to a doctor and give him all of your medical records and you have the power to release them and they have everything, then they know exactly what you're allergic to, all the procedures you've had done. They're able to give you better medical attention. And guess what? You can do it anonymously.
Mm-hmm.
And as a, you know, partial libertarian, I like that.
I was unconscious most of the time.
Well, you know, but yes, you know, your wife could have done that or, you know.
Tattoo it to my chest, right?
That's correct. You know, it'll zap you. scan you.
Your address.
Yeah. It'd be my Bitcoin address. I'd be putting money in there.
You got to find a trusted tattoo artist to put it on. So, well, that's one of the things, as now that we are expanding the show, and, again, thanks to all the people that are helping that, participating and sponsoring, that I expect that possibly next month that we'll go to the full 2 hours, and we want to take the show beyond the broadcast and beyond the Internet, too. We'll talk about that at all. But one of the more important things when we have that kind of time, and we're still playing around with just where in the format we're going to put it, is we ought to be able to have these things about the blockchain and how that's, because I try and tell people, your life is going to change in ways you can't even imagine yet. And then you try and describe things you can't imagine, and people just glaze over when they're looking at you, and then you go, oh, crazy Henry.
Absolutely right. And I mean, people think, oh, I already missed the Bitcoin. It's over. And it's like, you have no idea. It's just beginning.
Yeah. It's like in 1995, we'd say, like, yeah. The World Wide Web. I'm never going to need to know that stuff.
The computer's invented. It's over.
I talk to people at the medical practice that are like 75, and I know 20 years ago when they were 55, they were going, I don't need to know about that Internet. And now they're so lost, and they still need to get involved because the lifespan, where you're going to be 10 years, you're going to be sitting in a little corner all isolated from everything in the world.
Let me point, if we're going to continue to drive cars, that's a product, that's computerized and so forth. Do people have to become their own mechanics?
We're not going to continue to drive cars.
Well, maybe
with the ex-CEO of General Motors?
Well, no, I'm just, in general, following the trends. They're going to start designing roads that aren't for people to drive on. The trucking is going to be automated to the point that they can make roads narrower, that the sequencing of the trucks don't have to rely on human reaction times, and
we're going to have automated vehicles, of course, and that's going to happen. It's already happening. But the point is, in the meantime, in the in-between time, the situation amounts to people being vulnerable who are old, like you just said a little while ago. So the point is, the vehicle that you buy or you need to buy, I mean, in Europe, because they have rail, they have high-speed rail especially, and they have other modes of transportation, people often don't have cars, depending on where they live. But where they have to have a car, they don't buy the car with the idea that I've got to repair it myself. But with computerized whatever.
You're not going to repair these either.
Well, maybe, maybe not. But the design of your
do you repair
about,
your TV
tell me
yourself?
About your phone. Is your phone free? Is your phone free?
No, it has a cost.
Oh, it has a cost.
Right.
Why isn't it free? I mean, it's for business use. Why doesn't the business provide this for you? Free.
That is the business of the business that provides it for you.
Well, if you have an Obama phone, it's free, but, you know, that's a whole different subject.
Well, I mean, you without going into personalities and making ridiculous comments, the idea.
By the way, I've, in another medical job I had a few years ago, I dealt with people with the Obamacare phones, and, you know, that wasn't such a free ride because, I mean, it was free, but it was a very tiny free ride because they'd be like, I can't talk to you more than 2 minutes. I only get 200 minutes a month.
Well, there you go. There
it's
you
for
go.
Emergency. It was supposed to be used for emergencies only.
But when we're dependent on corporations to provide the products to make us all universally whatever, the cost is too great for what they provide. And then they're constantly making these obsolete within a year or two.
So let's get back to the car part.
But
we
principal argument
double now.
But the principal argument I'm making is you don't want to have to screw around with making your car work like you have to do with your phone.
Well, you won't have to because you're not even going to own a car. You're going to be sharing
rides.
That's
down a road of venture.
Well, you know, there was an interview with the ex-CEO of General Motors that was very interesting and exactly to what you said. He said the cars are going to go the way of the horse and buggy, where people will be, and I guess he wrote a whole thing on it, but they'll be transported in pods or something. I don't know, but, you know, there's your future.
Well, that's the Tesla argument. Tesla, I've been reading about Tesla's new
vehicle.
You'll
just think about it, Augie. The implant in your brain will send a transmission. You'll plug into the network. Whatever free vehicle will show up. your implant will transmit your cryptocurrency. It'll be a great world. Just be quiet and don't make trouble, okay?
And cows will fly.
I don't know. Is there a profit in that?
If there is, I'm in.
All right. Okay, so we were going to be, for those out there listening to this, on the break, we were talking about how concisely we were going to go right into the topics that we wanted to talk about to get to Andy's column here. But thanks to the generosity of WWPR and Radio Val, the First Lady of Radio, we may run over a little bit, even in our new expansion. Sometime, I don't know if it was 1995 or 2005, we were talking about Bitcoin and Bitcoin Cash, their fluctuations over the weekend. There's other news that have been moving the price of Bitcoin into its record. Besides that, we previously had the announcement of the CME Group that they were going to be trading futures in Bitcoin. They announced this past week also that it was going to happen. It may have been about a week ago that's going to start the second week of December. So that's just a couple weeks away. And then the British hedge fund group, the Man Group, with over $100 billion in funds under management, announced they will begin trading Bitcoin on the CME's future market. And the company stated, "We're always listening to our customers." This is now I'm segueing into Square payment app Square. This is actually, I think, the day it hit the record. Announced that it was going to be allowing their customers, not the merchants, to buy and give products for Bitcoin, but just the customers to be able to buy Bitcoin on their personal apps and sell Bitcoin. Their market capitalization, Square's market capitalization, swelled by $1 billion that day and hit a new record high for that. On top of that, we have the news from Coinbase this week, the largest of the U.S. Exchanges, right now only trading three currencies, Coinbase, Litecoin, Ethereum. Relatively high transaction fees, but the ease of it and the security of it is at a different level than those in the other.
And it's insured. And it's insured.
Yeah. FDIC, if any of your cash has to be an FDIC account, 80%, I believe, audited by, is it Lloyds of London?
Well, yeah, Lloyds of London.
Cryptocurrency has to be in hard storage, not accessible where it can be hacked into. But they said in their announcement that they, of a Coinbase custody, this is aimed primarily at institutional investors, well, really only institutional investors, because I think you have to have $10 million to qualify.
Great.
But their Coinbase said that over 100 hedge funds have been created in the past year to trade digital currency. So they're seeing that there's going to be strict financial controls, dedicated account representatives, all this going on for the institutional investors. And as I said, a $10 million, $100,000 setup fee.
That's crazy.
What? But the custodial fee, I think, is only 0.1%.
Yeah,
so
wow,
they're going to make it up.
There's only 19 million coins. I mean, just
there's
not enough to go around.
Dollars.
Yeah, I mean, there's just not enough to go around.
Sooner or later, the speculation fight that's going on who's going to make money off of what is going to come to a crashing halt over the limits on what you can get into anything on, and they're going to decide what that coin's going to be. When that happens, they're not going to let you. It's like a country club. You're going to be out somewhere.
Bitcoin Cash.
Well, maybe.
Well. And that, thank you for that segue, because that takes us into the last of the biggest developments here. We may actually come out on time. I don't know. I didn't think we could do this. We may still not. As I stumble along here and bring up the CFO of Square to talk to us here, the scalability, the transaction speed that we talk about way in the first part of the show, the Bitcoin and Bitcoin Cash were duking it out last weekend over, may be somewhat solved because the first off-chain atomic swap for Bitcoin for Litecoin and vice versa was completed. Now, what the heck is that? We've been talking about SegWit2x. Now we're talking atomic swaps. If Leonard was here or Lee were here, he would do this much better than I am going to do it, but I will try and do it. Let's say, hypothetically, that Andy by virtue of his squatting in the counter at Mocha Joe's, had an ownership stake, and that I wanted to shop at Mocha Joe's on a regular basis. Andy has a pool of Bitcoin. I have a pool of Bitcoin. And I'm thinking, I'm going to be coming here almost as much as he's here, and I'm going to be eating breakfast and lunch and sometimes dinner there. I'll just put some money in this lockbox. And I have a key, and Andy has a key. And Andy is going to put some of his Bitcoin in to make whatever, cover any of my transactions that have to come back to me. So we're off the blockchain now. We don't have to pay an exchange to do the transaction fee to buy and sell, and we don't have to use BitPay or anything like that. I've got a key, you've got a key. You keep track of how much I eat at the store because you're always there, and you watch everybody come and go, and maybe they'll give you a job doing this.
That'd be great.
You can keep track of stuff there. So
you really gotta love your food, Andy.
You know, we figure. Okay, at the end of the week, we'll figure out what I've eaten here. So you've got to track internally on your little notepad of the breakfasts and lunches I've eaten there. And at the end of the week, you say, okay, Henry, you owe me one-tenth of 1% of a Bitcoin because you ate a bunch this week. And you brought all your friends in with you. And I'm like, okay. Well, you can have some Bitcoin of mine then. So we both take our key to the lockbox, and we open it up, and then we exchange the Bitcoin. Then we lock it back up and leave whatever's there. So that was a very long-winded way of explaining it. But think of it of two businesses, say like that Mocha Joe's restaurant and Cisco Food Services that have multiple transactions of a lot of value. They can have a similar situation. In fact, somebody like Cisco Systems could set it up for a lot of different restaurants, and they could do lots of transactions without ever going out into the blockchain to do it. And just at the end of the week, when it's finally settled up, that's when they do the transactions.
Sounds like a country club in advance.
It sounds like Ethereum almost. You know, Ethereum tried to accomplish with contract-based,
you
know.
You belong to a country club, you have to eat so many meals, or you...
No, I like that idea. You're putting that restriction.
You know, now does the lockbox, you know, because Al Gore did invent the Internet. Lockbox, is that an Al Gore idea with the atomic swap? I need to know this because, you know, the lockbox idea was his idea.
You know, if I was Augie, I would probably take the whole Al Gore thing over to the massage therapist story at the beginning of the show, but I'm not going to touch any of that. We're just going to say that if you had a business that was doing thousands of transactions and you needed the cheapest possible cost to do those transactions with your customers or clients, you could set up a channel off the chain. You could use Bitcoin or you could use Litecoin. You could actually use whatever the different parties have.
Currency, yep.
And settle all this. So that within the big ecosystem of Bitcoin, the ledgers stay intact out there, but internally in these mutually assured upon groups, the transactions can now be going on and happen. And that will take me to this clip where the CFO of Square talks about why Square is introducing the ability for their customers to buy Bitcoin with their apps. And I'll also talk about some of the other data that all becomes part of this that we're not going to hear on the clip. The clip is she's with Jim Cramer on CNBC on the Mad Money segment. They talked about 9 minutes, but this is just about a minute.
Put up virtual currency. I was looking at Credit Suisse piece this morning. Bitcoin buying option could help stock. It's talking about a TechCrunch story. First, is the story true? And second, you are from Goldman Sachs. Mary Meeker's on your board. Brandy, the great technology guru from Morgan, when she was at Morgan. And David Vinier. Okay, now he was the former CFO of Goldman. Bitcoin? Really?
So we're a payment innovator. And therefore, I think it behooves us to always know where are payments going? And one thing I will tell you now, working within a company, so no longer kind of sitting on the other side watching, is you just don't do academic papers at companies. You have no time. And so the only way to get people invested in figuring out what is the what about something new is to actually create a product and actually get it out there. When we develop products at Square, we spend a lot of time listening to what our customers want. And what we heard from individuals, so this isn't sellers asking to accept Bitcoin. This is individuals using Square Cash to make payments.
You better explain Square Cash to people because that just sounds like a different kind of cash. But go ahead.
I'll come through with Square Cash.
All right,
but Square Cash, individuals saying, we want an easy way to buy and sell Bitcoin. Right? You're talking about it. It's out there.
Right.
And so we want to do an experiment and say, okay, is this real? Do customers actually want to be able to do this? And then what it does internally is it makes everyone who supports that sort of innovation get to work and figure out how do we do this and do this in the right way.
Now, Jamie Dimon famously said that it could be a fraud. Lloyd Blankfein, Goldman Sachs, is kind of questioning about it. Now, but your customers are demanding it, so it really doesn't matter whether someone thinks it's a fraud. If your customer wants it, you're going to be there helping.
I think ultimately you have to be out there taking some risk and being able to go where innovation is going, to kind of decide up front that something, you shouldn't do it. I mean, it feels like the early days of the Internet or the early days of the shift to the cloud, right? How many people said, we'll never take data outside our data center,
right?
That's not safe. And then look at what, you know, my old boss, Mark Benioff, has done, for example. I know you know him well. So I look at digital currency like that. I don't think we know yet what it's going to be, but I think it absolutely, as an innovator, Square has to be there to let a customer do what they want to do.
And she goes on, I would urge anybody, maybe I'll get a chance to put this up on the Facebook later, the full 9-minute
I'd like
interview.
To hear that.
Well, what they do with their data for the small businesses. So, for example, they know all the customers that have used Square to shop at Mocha Joe's. If Mocha Joe's were their client, they could tailor a marketing campaign for those people internally on the personal app for those. And she says, who might question her, that it's for every dollar spent, $10 of revenue comes back in. Their small business loan that they are doing, it's like golden handcuffs for the company
that
takes
them on. Are they microloans?
No, they're regular loans. But because they know your cash flow, unlike MasterCard or Visa, that don't look at that. They look at you as like, well, we can tailor it to you because when your money's flowing, we know you can pay more. When your money is less, we can give you some leeway. And so they have the ability to loan money more efficiently and collect more efficiently. And, I think that also can go through cryptocurrency, too.
I agree. I tell you, I love companies that are innovative and do not shy away from it, and Square is definitely one of those.
Well, I think the temptation is going to be to do what the country clubs do, lock certain people into a financial arrangement, making sure of profits and all the rest. This thing is designed for that. And all the convenience argument, but then the argument's going to really come when people say, what is the final currency? They're going to want a final currency.
I don't know about that. I mean, I'll tell you, as a merchant, I want cheap fees and I want quick processing. And the credit card companies do the same thing with the loans. Like what they're saying, they see how much money you're processing every day and that, and they'll say, oh, we'll give you a $50,000 loan. And you look at those interest rates, you're like, that's crazy. But people do it. And Square with the cryptocurrencies, the millennials are the future. Millennials and generation, and they're going to be the ones that are going to be paying. They're the ones that are going to be, that's what you're looking at, and they're the future.
Well, the future is the problem. I think a future, but not the future.
Well, I mean, it's going that way.
Well, maybe in the impressionable time of the young.
Well, we're on page 5 of the 28-page rundown. although the hashed health stuff was below this. So we've gotten about a third of through the show prep. And I'm going to scroll all the way to the bottom because, why have one of the most, if not the most, followed columnist on TradingView.com in the studio if you don't find out what he's telling his readers right now? And that seems to be about IOTA. You can find it at TradingView.com. You can get his old columns, too. They're still relevant. Even hours after he writes them, they're still relevant.
And he nails them to the door at Smoker Joe's.
Yeah, IOTA is one of those, just like, you know, the healthcare industry, IOTA is one of those ones that's on a cutting edge of the Internet of Things. Mm-hmm. And I love anything that has to do with the Internet of Things, because that is going to be big when 5G comes out and every device is connected to everything. Now, there's downturns to that, because then every device is connected to everything. But, you know, how do I profit from it? I want to be in on it, and IOTA seems to be at the forefront. Right now, it's still a speculative coin, so I caution everybody that this should be in your speculative account with a very small, principal.
What does
there.
It do?
Well, IOTA, they're going to, as devices communicate, let's say you're driving your Tesla and you want to charge up at the fueling station, it would automatically do those micro transfers. So during, you know, that's the issue with Bitcoin is the micro transfers. If I want to transfer 50 cents, I don't want to pay $10 to do that. So IOTA and a lot of these other coins are coming in and filling the gap, and IOTA will be one of those ones that will fill in the gap with the Internet of Things. If I want to order Tide or I want to do whatever I'm doing with my car or my telephone, is all connected to the Internet of Things. As those transfers happen, there will be a fee that's paid, and it'll be a micro transfer, and they are going after that. The one thing I do like about them is that the team is filled of ex-NASA. I mean, we got PhDs, medical doctors, educators. I mean, a great team on this coin, and that's why I like them.
And price history, where is it? Where has it been? Where is it going?
Well, it was at 30 cents last week, and it's at 70 cents today. So, and I think this has a lot of room to run still. So, but I would not go buy it here. Let the market's been really hot right now. There seems like we're trying to get into the bullish mode again. So if you're looking at something right now, just kind of let it settle. Don't try to chase the train right now.
All right. Well, we more or less are on time, so we can't let that happen. What do you want to talk about, Mikey, before we go?
I just, as I said earlier in the show, I said the Publix event of the cashier, a very bright young guy, pointing out the Bitcoin thing and the bagger knowing what the hell he was talking about.
That's amazing.
I mean, that, I think, is indicative of at least the noises getting out there.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think,
do people really listen, or do they know what they're hearing?
Well, I think a lot of people still think it's just a coin and it's just a scam, and I don't think they realize the technology behind it and how it's going to revolutionize barter and trade.
Then the question comes, when you turn the power off, what happens?
You got your battery backup. That's what I have.
And your solar panels.
As an investor, and you must be diversified. You should have a little bit of everything. You should have some stocks. You should have some gold. You should have some cash in the bank, and you should have some
crypto. What percentage gold?
I would say at least 10 to 15%. And that's, okay.
and I'm telling you that.
I mean, and I know everybody says 5%, 5%, 5%. That's, are you kidding me? You need to have 10-15% in gold and silver.
Right. 10 or 15% in gold or silver, 10 or 15% in cyclical stocks, 10 or 15% in tech stocks, 10 or 15% in property, 10 or 15% in. Once you accumulate 150% of your portfolio, you're
wonderful life. I think a lot of people think they're going to be investing in cryptos and they're going to become wealthy, and there will be some of those people, and some have already happened. But you work hard and you hold your assets, and just like Augie did. I mean, Augie is a perfect example of that. He's worked hard. He has assets. What's your main thing is to retain those assets, to retain that wealth and not lose it.
I want my assets to work for me.
That's correct.
Big assets.
Absolutely. He likes big assets, and he can't lie, right?
All right.
Yeah, I've seen some big assets running around pretending to be assets, and they're really not.
That's right. Okay. That's right.
All right. I think it's time to say goodbye here. We want to thank Mocha Joe's, Byte Federal, for supporting the show, allowing us to expand. We'll be back next week with 90 Minutes, hopefully 2 hours, not too far behind that. Next Saturday, 2 o'clock, the Bradenton Bitcoin and Cryptocurrency Meetup. At Mocha Joe's, 2 o'clock. Expect to see a lot of you there. Look forward to that. And different sign-out music today, because I am so proud of finding that one song. I'm going to let it play for the audience.